Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Now we're going to take our Bibles and we're going to turn to what I would regard as a well-known passage of the Word of God, especially for those who perhaps are avid readers of the Bible. Luke's Gospel, one of the Gospel writers. Luke's Gospel and chapter 23. And Luke is going to bring before us an account of the crucifixion of our blessed Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We're going to break into the reading in Luke's Gospel 23 at verse 39. Luke's Gospel chapter 23 and reading at verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily," or "truly, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now, back, please, to verse 34. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Verse 35. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others." Now, we know that God always adds his blessing to the public reading of his word. Luke brings before us his account of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Had we read from verse 1, perhaps up to verse 34, he would have brought before us the account of what happened on the lead-up to this seismic event that took place at Calvary. But I want to focus on just three words this afternoon. I want to focus on verse 35 and these three words. He saved others. He saved others. But I read together from verse 39, just for a bit of the background, just to fill in the canvas and paint the picture of what our Lord suffered at Calvary. Verse 39 begins, "And one of the malefactors." It's not a common word that we would use today, but it's a criminal, a common criminal. Or I suppose if we were to bring it into biblical language and to understand it a little better, we could write these words, "And one of the sinners which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be thy Christ, save thyself and us." He's in the very presence of the person of Christ, God's beloved Son. He's fixed to a Roman cross, just as Jesus is. He's facing certain death. Eternity is on the horizon. And he's railing upon the person of Christ, making sport of the Son of God, ridiculing the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet on the other side, as those three crosses were upon the hillside of Calvary, malefactors, criminals, sinners on either side of the person of Christ. The other, he answers and he rebukes his fellow criminal. "Do you not see that we are in the same condemnation? Do you not fear God? We are here for the due reward of our deeds." Why are they there? They're there because they're sinners. They're there because of the crimes that they committed. And they're being put to death on a Roman cross. And this one says, we indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds, for, Romans 6 verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. And they're being put to death. And he's facing the same eternity that is on the horizon as his fellow malefactor. And yet he perceives that the man upon the center cross, Jesus, the Savior, the one who is dying for sins, not his own, for he's sinless, but dying for the sins of his people, dying for your sins and my sins. He says, we indeed justly, but this man, Christ, God's beloved Son, hath done nothing amiss. Nothing in Christ that could respond to sin. The word of God says that in him was no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He was blameless. He was unique. He was such a man as I am, yet without sin. And he recognized that the man upon the center cross was the one who was the Savior of the world. What did he do? Well, the other, what did he do? He shot out in sport and made sport of the Son of God. He rejected Christ. But here's a man who in the 11th hour received Christ. Moments from death. Grasped it. Lord Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he came down from that cross, a saved man. Not a living man, for he was dead. And he went straight into the presence of Christ. The very day that he accepted Christ was the very day he went to be with Christ in paradise. What am I driving at? Simply this. That here were two men faced with exactly the same outlook on life. Life was ebbing from them. Death was imminent. Eternity was certain. One went into eternity with Christ as Saviour. The other went into the great eternity. And Christ would be his judge. Let me enforce it upon you this afternoon. Scripture would remind us, it is appointed unto men once to die. We live in a world of stats. There's stats for everything. Some are good, some are bad, but here's a stat that we can't avoid. 10 out of 10 people die. The two malefactors at Calvary both experienced death, and you and I too will experience death. It is appointed unto men once to die, for the wages of sin is death. It's all around us. We can't escape it. We can't avoid it. And we die because of the sin that we commit. And here is a sinner, a malefactor, a common criminal. At the point of death, accepts Christ. But listen, here's a word of warning. Don't you think for one moment that you'll wait like the dying thief upon the cross and wait till the last moment. Eternity, hell itself, is filled with people who are believers. Well, they believe that Christ died. They believe that Christ rose again. They believe that Christ can save. But it's too late. They're in eternity. And they're in a lost eternity at that. And with his dying breath, he accepted Christ. Many have said, when I get my earthly deathbed, then I'll think about eternity. And I'll think about God. And I'll think about salvation. My friend, many don't have an earthly deathbed experience as that. How often do I read the death column in the Dunfermline Press that comes out every Thursday? There's one word that jumps out from the page. Suddenly. 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 People taken out into the great eternity without warning. Suddenly, life that was vibrant and full, suddenly gone in a heartbeat, in a moment. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. And so let's go back to the three words that we want to think about just for a little while this afternoon. Verse 35, the people stood beholding. The rulers also with them derided him, ridiculed him, saying, and you can almost hear their voice of mockery, in the face of Christ, he saved others. How true those words were. They were saying them in jest, but how true they were. He saved others. Let's think about it for a moment. He. Who is Luke referring to when he says he? Well, by definition, we know it's a male, because Luke writes the words he. We have he, male. We have she, female. God created man and woman, male and female. And so Luke refers to Christ, he. He. Who is he? Well, the hymn writer has penned the words, who is he in yonder stall at whose feet the shepherds fall? Of course, a hymn that predominantly is used at Christmas time. And we think of he at Christmas time as the Son of God who was born in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. The one who was the architect of the universe, who created all things. You look at the creation, the night sky. Just in this past week, was it that the planets were aligned, Mars and so on, and you could look up at the night sky and you could see visibly Mars and Jupiter and the planets and the stars and the moon that just seems to hang there on the black inky canvas of the night sky. He created it. He made it. And he was the one who came to earth. And he was the one who moved in the midst of men for 33 and a half years, bringing blessing to men. He made the eyes of the blind to see. He made the lame to walk. He was the one who could come to the town at Bethany, where there was Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and Lazarus had died. And he was the one who shouted, Lazarus, come forth, and he that was bound in the grave clothes came forth. He was the one that was able to still the storm at sea. He was the one who was able to take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed a multitude. He was the one who was able to do the miracles and the wonders and signs that followed. He was the one who was able to calm a storm at sea. It was all about Christ. He is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is the central theme of the gospel message. He is the one who is upon the center cross at Calvary. He is the one who died that you might have everlasting life. He is the one who went out as far as to Bethany and was caught up out of the sight of men into the very presence of his Father God. And he is the one of whom Paul speaks about in Thessalonians, who is coming back again to take those who are saved, those who are believers, back to his glorious side in heaven. He is the one of whom the gospel writers speak about here. It's not anything to do with self. We're not promoting a church. We're not promoting a religion. We're not promoting a creed or a culture. What are we doing? We're simply preaching Christ and Christ alone. He is sufficient. And he can meet your need in relation to your sin and your salvation. And so Luke says he. But what did he say then? He saved. He saved. That was the purpose of his coming. Timothy writes in his epistle, Christ Jesus came into the world For what purpose? To save. To save. To save who? To save those who are lost. To save those who are in their sins. To save those who cannot do anything for themselves. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot work for salvation. We cannot pay for salvation. Salvation is found in Christ and Christ alone. That is why Luke said, he saved. We sometimes sing with the children, he did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. It was to save he came. He saved. Now, whilst Luke writes in the past tense, it's still applicable today. For our God is still in the business of saving sinners. Did we not sing these words? And I hope as we sang them, we understood them. Listen, there's a song my heart is singing. In my soul its tones are ringing. Peace and rest and joy it is bringing. Listen to the language. Jesus Christ has power to save. Verse 2, and really, when we sing verse 2, we sing it in the knowledge that we know he has the power to save, for he has saved us. For he says, oh, that song, my soul is thrilling. Jesus saves the soul that's willing. Precious truth, my heart is filling. And we sing it. The believers here who are saved can sing it out of a full heart. Jesus Christ has power to save. He's the only one who has power to save. We cannot, as I say, save ourselves. But it's impossible that we can save ourselves. For we're sinners, for whom Christ died. He saved. But then listen to the language of Luke. Others. Others. What do you say? He saves others. Well, if he saves others, he can't say, oh yes, this. When we think about others, we're thinking about the universe of mankind. No one is without. And no one is outside the realm of the love of God, of the salvation of God. Listen, he saved others and he can save you. He saved me as a boy of 12. He saved others in different ways, in different ages and in different ways we came to him, but we all found him. And Paul reminds us he saved others. And so we've read this afternoon about one soul at Calvary that came to him, and in the 11th hour and in the weakness of his body, that one soul looked upon Christ. I was going to say within touching distance of him, but he was nailed to a cross. But you know what I mean by that. He was so close to the person of Christ. And he looked upon him and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I tell you, it must have been lovely words for that malefactor that day to hear those words today. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. 2,000 years have elapsed since Luke wrote these words. 2,000 years that malefactor has been in the presence of Christ. Began the day a sinner, ended it a saint. Began the day heading to hell, ended the day in heaven. Began the day on the broad road that leadeth to destruction. Ended it on the narrow road. Wasn't on it for very, very long, but he was on it. And it ended in bliss, in paradise, that garden city. He saved the malefactor. He saved Luke that wrote the gospel that we're referring to. He saved the Apostle Paul, who referred to himself as the chief of sinners. He saved others in this hall this afternoon. For what did they do, like the repentant thief upon the cross? They acknowledged that Christ was the Saviour. They acknowledged their own sin, we indeed justly, and imparted to the thief upon the cross was God's salvation. I could take you around the country. I could take you around the globe. And I could introduce you to others whom he has saved. But let me throw out the challenge to men and women, boys and girls, who are in this company this afternoon. He has saved others, that's true. But let me ask you the question, has he saved you? Has he saved you? Has there been a point in your life when you've acknowledged that you're a sinner? Acknowledged that God is holy. Acknowledged that Christ died and died for you. And the text on the wall there says it all. Repent ye and believe the gospel. He saved others. We rejoice in that. Let me tell you this. He can save you. And if he saved you tonight and you came to Christ for salvation, then you would be in this group of which Luke speaks. He saved others. Let us pray.
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.